We're the member station at Champaign-Urbana and part of the
Woo!
U of I. I understand you went here for undergrad?
I did.
So you were a Daily Illini alum?
That's right. I did not major in journalism, but I worked at the Daily Illini, which was pretty much the same thing.
So when you went here, did you plan to go into radio or journalism?
Not into radio, but I definitely, from the first day I started working at the Daily Illini, the very first story that I was assigned in early 1993, yes, as soon as I did that story, I knew that I was going to be a journalist.
And before becoming host of All Things Considered, you were a foreign correspondent, a war correspondent, NPR's Beirut bureau chief, and you chronicle some of your experience and doubts and what drove you towards those stories in a radio documentary that we'll link to. But I wonder what made you decide to go the first time?
It's kind of a slow process. It's not like there's like one day where you're like, you know what? I kind of think I want to go where there's shooting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a slow thing. And for me, honestly, it started after 9/11, right? 1/6 of the population of the world is Muslim. And all of a sudden we were saying, who are these people and why do they hate us? And I think everybody's hunch was, well, not all of them hate us, right? But why do some of them hate us? How do we get there? And so from that point forward, I knew that that was a question that I wanted to explore. I did it first in the world's most populous Muslim country, which was Indonesia. So I spent a couple years there kind of slowly understanding Islam and what it meant. I ended up in the Muslim republics of the former Soviet Union. And then I always knew that all roads kind of led to the Middle East, that that was the final destination. I didn't get there until 2006. And if you're a correspondent in the Middle East, it's pretty likely that at some point you're going to end up seeing some conflict. But it's not like a decision you make. That wasn't really it for me. It was like, I want to understand. I want to bridge these two worlds that cannot understand each other. I want to be part of that conversation. And then slowly, yeah, one of those days it's like, oh, should I go into this place where they're shooting? Yeah, I probably should.
And did you find the answer to that question?
Did I help bridge the gap of understanding between the West and Islam? No. No. I mean, did I? Yes. I hope I did. I hope each individual little story did. I don't know. That was at least the hope, right? And in the middle of something as much of a conflict where you can listen to the policymakers in Washington saying we should or we shouldn't send our fighter planes, we should or we shouldn't have a no-fly zone, I could bring you the people on the ground saying, well, here's what it's like for me. If you stopped these bombs from falling on my house, this is how my life would be better. Then let the policymakers make their decisions. That's our job, right? Is just getting down on the ground and listening to what people have to say and leaving the decisions up to the decision makers.
Mm-hmm. So your documentary, it ends before you finally make the decision to come home. What was it that told you you needed to go back to the States?
Again, it wasn't one. It's weird. I don't, maybe it's just how I don't know how to make decisions. But it's like it wasn't one day where I was like, oh, got to go back home. It was just conversations with my family. I think the process of making the documentary in and of itself helped me reflect on things in a way that I wouldn't have if I had just been left alone. That just kind of slowly nudged me toward this idea that maybe it's time to take a break. Maybe it's time to say my shift is over. For now, that was how I could stomach it. And it's time to take a break and come home.
So you're now about a month into hosting, All Things Considered. How is that process of preparing to be a host on the show and getting adjusted to that new role gone for you?
It's totally different, but also strangely the same. I think I thought, wow, I'm going to be in a studio 2 weeks out of every month, day in and day out. That could not be more different than being out in the field as a Middle East correspondent. But it's funny, you know, when you're sitting in the studio, what are you doing all the time? You're talking to people. And it's the same thing. It's the same set of principles that we apply when we're reporters. It's just letting people know that you're here, that you're genuinely interested in what they have to say, and that you're listening. You just can't see them a lot of the times because we're in the studio. But my theory is that everybody wants to talk. Everybody has a story to tell. They just need to know that you're actually listening. And so, yeah, it's not as different as I thought.
And in the past, the flagship news magazines, like All Things Considered, have tended to focus on stories from the East or the West Coast. As someone from the Midwest, do you hope to bring more perspectives from this region to the show?
Yes, absolutely. Totally. Totally. I mean, we've got correspondents in the Midwest. We've got lots of station reporters in the Midwest who bring stories to our news magazines. So I would say that we already have people on the ground doing that. But yes, if I can in any way add to that, I totally want to not just perspectives from the West, but also from the Midwest. I did a really hard-hitting conversation. I'm not sure if you heard it about the Cubs and Cardinals rivalry the other day on All Things Considered. These are important issues of the day, people. No, I mean, yeah. So anytime anybody brings me a Midwest pitch, it's pretty likely I'm going to say yes. So yeah, expect that.
Great. We're going to look forward to all of those stories.
Send your ideas. Send your ideas.
Has there been either a most memorable story so far or someone in particular you hope the new gig will let you talk to?
You know, it's such a strange job. You talk to so many different people, even just in one day. Like one minute you're talking to Ali Shaheed Muhammad from A Tribe Called Quest, which was awesome. And the next minute you're talking to one of the Tunisians who won the Nobel Peace Prize, which was awesome, you know. And then the next minute you're talking to somebody who wrote the cover story in Ebony magazine about what the character Cliff Huxtable means now that these allegations of rape and sexual misconduct have been lobbed against Bill Cosby. That's a lot of things to do just in one day. But I kind of love them all. You're considering all things. It's a lot to do. It's a lot of ping-ponging from one thing to the other. But yeah, the collection, the sum total of them all is pretty awesome.
And I understand you're also launching a new podcast soon. Can you tell me anything about it?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about it. We're still kind of working on the name and exact launch date. But the idea is that we're going to take stories from the news and just go deep on those stories, just a little bit deeper than maybe your daily story for one of the news magazines. I mean, one of the great things about NPR is we already take you places. We already kind of get in a little bit deeper than, say, cable news does. But this would just be like going maybe another kind of extra step further into a story, taking a story from the headlines that you're kind of like, wow, how did that happen? And going to the people who are at the center of the news and just spending some time with them. Maybe it's 3 days, maybe it's a week. Really on the ground with those people and telling their stories. So just a slightly longer format, maybe slightly more personal format, right? Because it's a podcast. Mm-hmm. You might say the word I a little bit more often. You might hear the reporter on tape a little more often. You might hear what the reporter's thinking. I'm going to host the podcast. Some of the pieces will be reported by me, but some of them will be reported by other NPR reporters too. So you're going to hear people kind of out of the usual omniscient news presenter comfort zone and doing stuff that's a little more podcasty.
Any word on when we should start looking for it?
Looking for it, I'd say in the new year. Let's
hope.
All right.
Sounds exciting. One last question. You grew up in Lincoln, Illinois. So do you still have any green and red Lincoln Railer swag in your closet?
Oh, man. Do I have any Lincoln Railer swag? Did I ever have Lincoln Railer swag? Because I was like on the speech and debate team. You know what I mean? We never got to wear like a letter jacket. I was in the pep band and the marching band. Somewhere there's some Lincoln Railer stuff at our house. I don't know where. But yes, I love my hometown. I recently, a couple years ago, went back and did a story about my hometown. It was kind of a critical look at what's happened. It stirred up a lot of conversation. You know, it's one of those places that if you stay there, you're really proud of it. And I'm proud of it, too. If you leave, sometimes you're really critical of it. That's what happens with your hometown. But I think the reason we chose to go there was to look at what's happening in a lot of America, right? Middle class jobs going away, being replaced by lower wage jobs. One of the things that's happening is there's rise in certain drug use. You're seeing more heroin overdoses like you're seeing in a lot of communities in America. These are important things to talk about. They don't make people feel good, but they're important things to talk about. It's also a great town, man. I grew up in a really great town, so I can't knock it.